Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
April 12, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this indeed is the show you were looking for. How do I know so? Because you're hearing me say this. Anyway, it is a Tuesday, and I meant to start on a Monday, but it is a Tuesday, that is, to most of you. And, I didn't make it to the show last night. I had other obligations, so I took care of them. And looks like my mic's a little hot. Anyways, I was doing short attention span DJ theater just before this, but I did not really get into it too much there. I got a couple of requests out though, that was helpful. A couple of Blues Brothers tracks. Anyway, if you don't know about that, you probably don't know. And Mixcloud is the only place to get it, because that's where the short attention span DJ theater episodes go, because I can't distribute them as a podcast. Anyway, here we are on a Tuesday, and what is happening today? Well, a shooting in Brooklyn, in the subway. Weird, weird situation. Gotta tell you, I caught it early when it happened. And the reports, very, very strange. First they say there was a smoke bomb. Then there were supposed to be several undetonated devices. And we're not so sure if it's terrorism. Maybe it's terrorism. Hey, here we go. I don't know what the deal is. And I don't think anybody else does at this point. However, they do have a person of interest they're looking for, and they have identified him. They put out a picture of him out on social media, all that good stuff. So, weird situation. A whole bunch of shots fired, seemingly without provocation, in the subway in Brooklyn. And, I don't know, eyewitnesses immediately were talking about the smoke and how they thought it was like firecrackers. I don't know how you can think that that's firecrackers. I mean, it's got to be really loud. Inside of a subway car. I don't think I ever saw anybody shot on the subway. I know I've seen people assaulted straight up, but not with a gun in the subway. The echoes from the platform are pretty rough. I've seen a gun fired, underground from a platform before, but I don't think I've ever seen one fired in the subway car. Makes me think back to the Bernhard Goetz days, sure, and there's a lot to be said about that, but anyway. So this happened earlier today, and now there is the grand speculation about what the motive was. I don't know, man. Things are getting very, very odd. Speaking about odd, of course, the Ukraine war is still going on, the Russia-Ukraine situation. And gotta tell you, that's getting dirtier and more confusing by the day on all propaganda sides, no matter what they say. Point is that our news media is trying to sell the hero's journey with Zelensky there, and it makes me question what in the world is actually going on, because they usually don't care about conflicts. I mean, quite often, we're involved in conflicts, and we're also observers of certain conflicts in various parts of the world, and nobody really cares about any of it. So, this is just weird. Hang on a second, guys. Yikes. All right. I don't know why, but I suddenly have this vibration issue here. Things are strange since the house got hit by lightning. Anyways, that was a weird Wednesday last week. Woden's Day, Odin decided to say hey and shut down the Don Jeffries show about 40 minutes in. Anyways, I shoved the table that the microphone is actually clamped to, so because there's this weird vibrating noise. Alright, so now I'm distracted. Back to Ukraine. The issue there where the MSM is selling us this hero's journey for, I mean, please, the Ukrainian president, alright. Weird, weird story again, a guy who plays a teacher on TV who becomes the president of Ukraine and is trying to fight corruption and all that. You know, at a certain point, people were believing that narrative. Without ever having seen the TV show, they've now distributed it to America, so you can catch it, with subtitles and all that on Netflix, and I'm sure other platforms will wind up getting it soon. But, dear God, what is that vibrating noise? I don't know. I might have to take a break and deal with this. It's like My room is... I don't know if you guys can hear this. Oh, what the hell. All right, anyway. Yeah, I mean, that whole journey being sold to everybody, you know, it was interesting. And, of course, the controversy there with the Trumpster back with the quid pro quo phone call where they tried to drag that through and get him impeached, which made no sense considering the fact that the guy was doing things in broad daylight that were technically not legal for the president to do. They drag that stupid thing in front of the world to act like they're actually doing something. And that was a pointless bit of puppetry from a few years ago. Well, this was the guy, right? And he said he didn't feel pressured or anything like that. I'm sure the Trumpalites appreciated him at that point because, hey, he was doing the good thing there, protecting Trump by not saying, yes, I was pressured and he tried to make deals. And, hey, there's other stuff that wasn't recorded. You know, no, nothing like that. But now, of course, he's a scumbag, according to the same people, because what? Well, the government's full of Nazis, even though this guy's a Jew. He's, I guess, in support of Nazis, or the other story that I think I read probably, I don't know, 2 years ago on Veterans Today or whatever, is that they kind of had him held hostage, that they were telling him what to do anyway, and the Nazis really ran the government over there. Weird story there as well. But then we have the 2014 situation where, again, I was mistakenly sold and did make the wrong analysis about this idea that people of Crimea were just totally thrilled to be pushed back into the Russian Federation. Okay, fine. Crimea had a great relationship with Ukraine. This is significant. But, again, a place the size of Texas... All right, I got to just break down something here about the criminality because of all of these wonderful things that people are asserting out there that are of the highest level of dirt and definitely greasing up the whole situation. Well, Ukrainians, they were all about the human trafficking. They were all about the drugs, this and that. They had this tremendous organized crime network. You know what? They had a piece of the organized crime network under the Soviet Union. But they are not significant players. See, the funny thing is, yeah, Ukrainian girls got smuggled. It was usually Russians that smuggled them. And yes, indeed, there is a difference between a Russian and a Ukrainian gangster. First of all, there aren't that many Ukrainian gangsters. There's just not that many. They do have some organized crime, but who doesn't? Are they running the government? No. I mean, not like the Russian Federation, where Putin actually brought them in to the government. No, nothing like that. They're not really that significant. And yet, today, we have everything from they were human traffickers to they had a big piece of the drug business to they had a huge piece of, what else? Oh, right, the biolab thing. The idea that it's so shocking that anybody is playing around with bioweapons regardless of the conventions against it. I mean, somebody go knock on the door at Fort Detrick because, you know, there's that. And tell me again that no other country does that? Yeah. as far as the Ukrainians being funded, possibly, by the U.S., I mean, they're going to take the money from where they can get it. They were not in that great a shape. Although they had a better economy for the common person than we do. Right? Weird situation, so long as you weren't in the wrong area. See... This whole thing about Russians, you know, Russian-speaking people being targeted. I've been over that on the show. I'm not going to go over it again. But, I mean, this idea that these sympathetic areas, which then were declared to be independent, and now, you know, part of the big deal is, you know, we take part of your country away. It's so funny because I've heard people speculate that if this guy actually wanted out, you know, if the president of Ukraine really wanted out of the conflict, he could just compromise and give away those parts of his country. Let's reverse that for a second. How about you give me Dallas and Houston and, well, I don't know, Laredo, and I'll tell you what, I'll let you keep the rest of Texas. Sound good to you? Because it's about the same size. Yeah, no. I can't go along with this idea that, you know, he's decided to go to war with those that were doing human trafficking, when meanwhile there are people in his government that were doing that. So, yeah. Yeah, but nobody's got their hands clean. Make no mistake. I'm not doing this virtue signaling thing where, you know, it's thin with Ukraine. It's disingenuous, idiotic, and it's just like putting the multicolored flag over your stupid social media profile that, you know, the first of all, the misnomer that you own anything on social media is hilarious. But secondly, your profile, you know, your database filings with everything in the world from the standard surveillance capitalist multicultural capture sheets out there to the government who happens to keep track of you. I mean, if you have any idea in this world that you are living in a place where you have any sort of privacy, well, then you better be nowhere near technology or other people, because guilt by association is a reality at this time. And they've got the data trail to prove it. Oh, I forgot to mention, because the room's vibrating, that I do have phone lines open. Might have to do something about this vibrational nonsense. I'm literally banging on things to try and figure out what it is that's vibrating. Oh, I might have put an end to it. Okay, hopefully I put an end to it. 319-527-5016. Weirdness with the vibrating. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. I have open phone lines. Anyways, so this weirdness that it's like they had biolabs and they had a massive trafficking operation and they had massive drug operations, and oh, meanwhile they're also great producers of wheat and all this other stuff. How do you cram all that into something the size of Texas? I mean, their gangsters were not that significant. They were barely even registering in the organized crime world for many, many years. I mean, unless there's been some sort of surge just in the past 5 years or so, which would be amazing. But I'm willing to bet that there has been more Jamaican organized crime, okay, tiny island there, than there was Ukrainian, historically speaking. Again, at one time they were players as sort of Soviet bloc, but even back then, Ukrainians distinguished themselves from Russian gangsters, and I know that firsthand. I mean, there's a particular procedure. I could let you in on a little kind of secret society sort of thing, but reality is that Ukrainian gangsters, there's a special meet and greet you got to do. And by the way, ethnicity is very, very important in the organized criminal world. You only trust your own kind of thing is normal and standard, but I find that interesting. I find it really interesting that people that I thought would have been more on the side of maybe let's not let innocent civilians be slaughtered. No, it's okay. Oh, by the way, it's cool to, you know, allow maternity hospitals to be destroyed because they were just breeding grounds for child sex slaves. No proof whatsoever for any of that outside of, I can point you to an article that some idiot wrote. But I mean, actual on-the-ground proof, something that would, oh, I don't know, reveal to you that there was an organized operation, you know, the capturing of said operation, literal stuff that's been retained as evidence somewhere, good luck. And again, the significance of drug trade is everywhere. I still ask, where is the proof? And you know what? Generally, people have a lot of hearsay that has been echo chambered through the various chambers. And again, if you're on one side of the equation or the other, you either freak out at this stuff and deny that it exists at all, or you go into, you know, fabrication mode. I don't know. It's a weird world in which we live, and it seems to be the template for all things. Appears as though I have a caller, though. So I will take him. I'm pretty sure I know who this is. I think it's my friend Jimmy James. How you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good, Chuck. Just confused and scared. Other than that, doing well.
You're confused and scared. Oh, well, let me try and help you, man.
Wow.
Why are you confused and scared?
Because everyone in who calls themselves our leaders are acting kooky and seem to have dementia.
I can't argue with that. It does seem as though, and, you know, I hate to be ageist about it, but, yeah, they get to a certain age and they're all demented. I can't argue against somebody who categorizes them as that way. And I do mean across the board. What is wrong with Nancy Pelosi lately? She's making some weird faces behind the masks, isn't she? Okay, there's one. You got Biden. He's looking, well, he's Biden. On the other side, they're looking a little odd, too. I mean, Grassley, does he know where he is at all times? What is he, 108? I mean, the dude is, I mean, come on. Why do we got to leave these guys in there until they're just about brain dead, James? What do you think?
Grassley. I don't know, every time I hear that guy's name, I think of a snake.
Yeah, no, I got you. But you see him, right? I mean, is that not the guy that you, you know...
Oh, I seen him during the corona thing. He got his shots. He was out doing one-handed push-ups.
One-handed push-ups? Grassley?
Yeah, he was doing... Grassley was, yes. He was really showing off. I thought it was a bit far when he started doing the claps. I was like, well, geez.
I got to see that.
100 video. Years old, man.
Really? I got to see that.
Yeah.
Do you hear that? Do you hear this ridiculous vibrating noise, dude?
No, I can't hear it. I cranked it up my speakers full blast to try to hear it.
Wow, it is so strange. I know you can hear me stomp on the floor, but okay, now that's somebody going by my place with super loud, you know, bass car. That just went by the house, but all right, now it's gone again.
Oh, that could have been.
It could have been.
They were sitting down the road, maybe blasting,
rattling my house from like two blocks away. Yeah, you know what? You're probably right. Look at that, Jimmy James solved the rattle, solved the vibration problem. I'm losing my mind today,
well,
man.
Well, you seen the.
Go ahead.
You seen the drive-by guy? That's what put it in my mind. I was like, well, there's the culprit.
Hmm. You know what? You got it. It seems to be gone now. Let's hope it stays away. Maybe I'm just losing my mind, Jimmy James. I got to tell, it's been a weird week, right? I had the website battle thing. I go out doing the Uber Eats with Mrs. O. We actually got banged from behind by somebody who said, oh, my car jumped out of gear. He was lying, though. I know he was texting. But hit us while we were out. You know, the house was struck by lightning when I was trying to produce Donald Jeffrey's show. Kind of taking that as a bad sign. What do you think's going on, man? Is the universe turning against me?
I don't think it's just you. I think the universe, I think the polarity reversed.
Hmm. Are you experiencing weird stuff? Like in your
house?
Very
weird, constantly.
Yeah.
In my house, not so much as every time I turn on the TV, I see and hear things that just don't click. Like I'm living in the Mandela effect.
In the Mandela effect or the Mandela effect? Because, you know, I've seen there's two theories there, you know that.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always heard it called the Mandela effect.
Well, there's the
Mandela. You know, where things seem like they've changed.
Yeah, that's the Mandela effect because it's about Nelson Mandela, and they say that there's a timeline where Mandela died, you know, in the 80s or 90s, and then he on a different timeline, he died, you know, after the turn of the century because they don't remember him getting out of prison and becoming president, I guess. Nope, see, that vibration is back. Oh, I must be losing my mind. All right, anyway, look, oh, you got to be kidding me with this noise. Anyway, like I got to stop the house from vibrating by kicking the floor once in a while. All right, this is the way this night's going to go. Sorry. The Mandela effect, though, is that some people remember him dying in the 80s or the 90s or something like that, and a massive funeral being on TV, and then he died several years later in reality. And then they start saying that, you know, there are products that have changed their names, Berenstain Bears, Berenstain Bears. That's the Mandela effect, but somebody else came out with a thing called the Mengele effect, because somehow they think that Dr. Mengele actually shows up somewhere in history. They remember something in history that wasn't there related to Mengele. But that's an even smaller group of people that believe in that. But the Mandela thing is like we're in an alternate timeline, right? Because
now that one I can almost buy the Mandela effect. Except I do remember Mandela living and dying. But other than that,
okay. So when did Mandela die, according to your memory?
Geez, not too long ago. It seemed like Obama officiated over it, so I have to think less than 10 years ago.
Okay, so what I'm going to do right now while I'm talking to you is I'm going to look it up, okay, just so I have my facts in front of me. All right, and the thing is that there are people that contend that, like I said, and it was 2013, December 5, okay, that makes perfect sense to me. Does that make perfect sense to you that if I told you it says he died December 5th, 2013?
Yeah, that sound right to me.
Sounds about right. The right era, right? Okay, so there's some people that claim he never got out of jail or that he died. A big massive funeral was actually held for him in the late 80s or early 90s. Matter of fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull up the official explanation, or at least the most general explanation. Yeah, I'm going to do something I don't normally do, because I don't like to pull up the internet while I'm talking on the radio, but I'm going to do this anyway. Let's go to Mandela Effect, because it's weird. And as a matter of fact, if you type Mandela, or at least if I do in my search engine, first suggested thing that comes up is Mandela Effect, by the way. Okay.
Now, see, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting that they did that. That's now all of a sudden that's the most important thing when they type in that name.
When they type in Mandela, yeah. So what is the Mandela effect? Okay, this is by Very Well Mind, so I imagine this is a mainstream article. So they're going to be very dismissive of it, but let's go through it really quickly. The Mandela effect refers to a situation in which a large mass of people believes that an event occurred when it did not, okay? Looking at the origin of the Mandela effect, some famous examples as well as some professional... All right, blah, blah, blah. We're going to go down. The term Mandela effect was first coined in 2009 by Fiona Brome, B-R-O-O-M-E, I guess, when she created a website to detail her observance of the phenomena. Brome was at a conference talking with other people about how she remembered the tragedy of former South African President Nelson Mandela's death, okay, in South African prison in the 1980s. Okay, see what I said, late 80s or early 90s. Okay, so she recalls him dying in prison in the 1980s and also is saying that he was the former South African president. Now, you and I both know that he didn't get to be president until he got out of prison, and that was after the 1980s, right?
Oh, that's for sure.
Okay, that's for sure between you and me, but she swears he died. Okay, what I think happened is she confused. There was another leader there who was an anti-apartheid leader named Stephen Biko. And there was an inquest, and there was a bit of a media thing that went around about it, and people talked about him dying in prison. And I think there's a confusion simply there, that there was a guy named Stephen Biko who did die at some point, I think in the 80s. I know that the story went around big in the 80s. I know that they did a Showtime television special. It was called the Stephen Biko Inquest or something like that, where they had actors read from the inquest, you know, an inquiry into somebody's death. And it was about Biko. But Mandela was in prison. So anyway, and we're not even talking about Winnie Mandela, which is a whole other subject, I assure you. But anyway, however, Nelson Mandela did not die. Yeah, it's a whole other deal. However, Nelson Mandela did not, this is back to the article, did not die in the 1980s in a prison. He passed away in 2013. As Brome began to talk to others about her memories, she learned that she was not alone. Others remembered seeing news coverage of his death as well as a speech by his widow. Okay, so we know that his death and his funeral couldn't have occurred till 2013, maybe even 2014, because he died in December, but I think they got it together in the last weeks of December. And I think you're right that Obama, if he didn't officiate, he certainly made an appearance. So anyway, Brome was shocked that such a large mass of people could remember the same identical event in such detail. All right. So, notable examples. The story of Nelson Mandela is not the only example of this group of false memory. Okay. Henry VIII eating a turkey leg is an example of a historical inaccuracy, right? People had a memory of a painting of Henry VIII eating a turkey leg, though no such painting has ever existed, right? There was supposed to be a classic painting of him eating it. It's not that, but at some point, some actor had portrayed him eating this turkey leg, and it's just stuck. Another example is, well, you know the Star Wars movies, right?
Yeah, I've seen the original ones.
Okay, so you saw the originals. So let me ask you a question. You saw The Empire Strikes Back, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you know the big battle between Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader? They're fighting each other, and Luke gets his hand cut off, right?
Right.
Okay. What is the famous line that everybody quotes from that movie about the battle where he reveals to him who his father is? What does he say?
Luke, I am your father.
Okay.
No. Then he drops, falls up down the catwalk way up in the air in the Death Star.
Okay, you ready for this? Go ahead and find the clip. Right now, anytime on YouTube, whatever, you'll find that that is not what he said. What he actually says is, no, I am your father. He doesn't say, Luke, I am your father. And that's the way the original movie was. And it still is, even with the, you know, the ridiculous upgrades and all that other stuff. That's still the line that Vader actually delivers. He goes, no, I am your father. But everybody remembers, Luke, I am your father. Right?
Yeah. I thought.
Well, but they claim...
I heard one that...
Yeah.
The one that freaks me out is the one with the James Bond dude, Jaws. Because that one's another one that I heard that's, like, burned in my mind. I can remember that dude kissing the chick with braces. But now she doesn't have braces, supposedly.
Okay, you have seen some of this stuff.
Yeah, I've noticed it. I read about it once.
Okay, here's you know about the one about Shazam or the Berenstain Bears? You want to cover any of these? Oh, here's a good one too. Where is New Zealand in relation to Australia? If you look at a map.
Pretty close. They always it appears on a map, doesn't it?
Sure. You will see. You start questioning. Does New Zealand exist? I understand. Anyway, you will see that it is. And this I'm reading from the article. You will see that it is at the southeast of the country. However, there is a community of people who claim to remember New Zealand being northeast instead of southeast. Now I'll tell you something funny. I'm one of those people who remembers that it was northeast. But I know it's just a...
I do, too.
It's an error of memory. I'm sure
thinking,
it is.
That's what I would have thought, is it would have been northeast.
Yeah, but it's southeast. See, you and I are
I know Australians do not like it if you call them Kiwis. They get very upset.
Yeah, right. See, you and I are from this one timeline where, Luke, I am your father, and... New Zealand is to the northeast of Australia.
Well, what about the Jaws one that I heard, where the villain with the metal mouth ended up with the girl with the braces at the end of Jaws?
I never got a good explanation of that. I'll look that up in a second, because I never got a good explanation of that, but there's some other ones on this list I want to just go over with you real fast. The famous children's book series, the Berenstain Bears, all right? How do you remember the Berenstain Bears?
Berenstain Bears.
So you remember the Berenstain Bears?
Well, yeah, Berenstain. That's the way I remember it.
Okay, so you remember it's being spelled B-E-R-E-N-S-T-E-I-N. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
But here's the fun part. The famous children's book series, The Berenstain Bears, is not immune to the Mandela effect. Maybe people report remembering the name being Berenstain Bears, spelled with an E instead of an A. Okay? And guess what? It's Berenstain Bears.
Berenstain? Berenstain? That doesn't sound right at all.
Ah, but if you look it up, you'll find the Berenstain Bears, S-T-A-I-N. Seriously, this is crazy, right? These are weird little things. Okay, I'll give you one more, and this one I loved because this one I got into an argument with. This was like the first stupid argument I ever got into with somebody about this, because I knew it was wrong. And, like, I don't remember this, but other people seem to. One of the most well-known examples of the Mandela Effect is the collective memory of a movie called Shazam. Now, let's pause for a second. Nowadays, I think there is actually a movie called Shazam, but that starred the actor-comedian Sinbad in the 1990s.
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
You saw it?
Yeah, I remember renting and watching it.
Okay. So you are from the alternate timeline, my friend, because, in fact, no such movie exists. Although there was a children's movie called Kazam and some other coincidences that could help to explain how this movie became created or remembered, there is no such movie, Shazam, starring Sinbad from the 1990s.
I could have sworn I rented it.
But see, in the current timeline we're in, that's why I'm testing you. Here, I got a couple more for you then. Let's just see which timeline you're from, Jimmy James. If you watched Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, did you ever watch that movie?
Yes.
Okay, you probably remember the line, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" Do you remember that line from the movie?
That's right.
Okay. You may be shocked to learn, then, that the line actually began with the phrase, "magic mirror on the wall," instead.
Magic mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So, mirror, mirror on the wall. Magic mirror on the wall. Nah, that don't sound right.
Okay, but if you check the movie today, I assure you, it'll say magic mirror on the wall. Okay, again, you and I may be from alternate timelines here, Jimmy James. As a matter of fact, maybe we're all from mixed timelines and we've all been dumped here, and this is what the problem is. Okay, here we go. Oscar Mayer. Okay, you know the company, you know the bologna, the hot dogs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so how do you spell Oscar Mayer?
Well, that's an easy one. O-S-C-A-R-M-E-Y-E-R.
Okay.
Spells Oscar Mayer.
All right. So, some people claim to remember the brand being spelled Mayer, M-E-Y-E-R, instead of M-A-Y-E-R. Guess what? M-A-Y-E-R is currently the correct spelling.
Y-E... No, that's crazy talk. They even made a song about it.
Okay. But if you go today, OscarMayer.com, it's spelled Oscar Mayer, basically. O-S-C-A-R-M-A-R. M-A-Y-E-R. It's spelled M-A-Y-E-R. Bacon, hot dogs, cold cuts, all that. M-A-Y-E-R.
See, that seems off to me.
It seems off, but I'm telling you right now.
I'm in the other.
You go to a grocery store and you see Oscar. But if you go to a grocery store right now,
Twilight.
you'll see Oscar Mayer spelled M A Y E R.
M A E Y E R.
M A Y E R. like Oscar Mayer.
I don't remember no A's being involved. That seems odd to me.
Well, but if you go look, that's the way it is. So are you?
See, that's what I'm talking about. Everything seems a little off. It's like going to Canada. It's just like America, but not quite.
I love you, man. The Mandela effect is like going to Canada. Can I quote you on that?
I mean, it's like everything's normal, but not quite right. I just can't quite put my finger on it.
Okay, somebody in the chat room points out another one. All right. Oh, wait, they got the girl kissing from James Bond thing, too. Let's see. First of all, Jif Peanut Butter.
Yeah, that's the main one that I'm familiar with and the one that outraged me because I have that vividly locked in my memory.
Okay, so the girl, this is what is said in the chat room here, and I believe this is from Chris Graves, who says, kissing Jaws from the James Bond. Okay, oh, excuse me. The girl kissing Jaws from the James Bond had metal braces. Okay? Ed McMahon never worked for Publishers Clearinghouse.
Yeah, that's another one that I heard that I fucking... No. What do you mean he didn't? He only mailed me every week for 30 years.
Okay.
These people are crazy.
How about this? The Tiananmen Square guy with the tank? He actually got run over, you know. According to some people.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing. We have these weird mismemorances, okay? Like Jif Peanut Butter, if I go to look that up right now, right? Jif Peanut Butter? How do you remember spelling
it? Yeah.
Jif Peanut Butter. You seen it? Saw it as a kid? Okay, so was it ever Jiffy?
Jif what?
Was it ever Jiffy Peanut Butter?
Jiffy?
Yeah.
No, I remember J-I-F-F.
Okay, you'd be interested to know that Jif Peanut Butter only has one F.
Nah, that wouldn't make sense.
Dude, I'm telling you, look it up online. It's only got one F. They'll show you the old retro packages. The old retro packages only have one F. It's got one F.
How? I can even picture the letters being in green and red and... I think they're messing with us, Chuck.
But if they're messing with us, they had to mess with the whole history. See, that's the problem. If you're from that other timeline, maybe things are a little different. So how did we get here, Jimmy James?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Listen, I want to know.
I thought you knew.
I don't.
I thought you knew.
No, because to me, most of these things are all right. See, most of the stuff that people... Oh, Mandela died. No, he didn't. I know he didn't. I know he didn't die until 2013. You know that, too. So you and I have that in common, but I don't recall Jif Peanut Butter with two Fs. I don't recall that at all.
You don't?
No. It always had one.
That's weird.
You see what I'm saying?
And you remember a why?
No, I don't remember a why
you
at
say
all.
It's Jiffy?
No, people online claim it's Jiffy.
Is it Jiffy?
No. It's Jif. J-I-F. Period. Matter of fact, I know that it was Jif Peanut Butter because I remember there was a band in New Jersey called the Choosy Mothers, and I remember smoking a joint with the guys in my band, and we were smoking and we were talking about what do? Take handfuls of Jif and pelt the crowd with them. Choosy Mothers choose Jif and throw peanut, and we were just making stupid, you know, stone jokes. And I remember going and getting a jar of Jif Peanut Butter, and this had to be, what, 1988, 89? And, no, it only had one F on it. I know it did. But other people swear up and down to me that it had two Fs.
Choosy Mothers choose Jif. I remember that commercial. I could have sworn there was two letters.
See, I remember that commercial, but I know it with one F. You see what I'm saying? And quite honestly, the Berenstain thing with the Bears, I kind of think it was Berenstain also. And it's messed up because it is the Berenstain Bears. And my favorite book when I was little, my father read to me, one of the only books he read to me, because mostly he read me the newspaper, was a Berenstain Bears book. And I still say Berenstain Bears. I am a little bit weirded out by Berenstain Bears. S-T-A-I-N. But Berenstain.
Berenstain
makes, like,
Berenstain.
Yeah, they're Jewish.
Yeah,
basically.
Berenstain.
Yeah, they're Jewish. Okay, yeah, that's fine. I didn't care. I'm just saying that, to me, that's what they were in my memory. But I have to accept it's Berenstain. I've seen all the books. You go look at a Berenstain books, Bears book anywhere right now. You go look at the one retro ones printed on eBay, you know, that people have on eBay for sale. It's Berenstain. You and I are in the wrong timeline. Okay? But you're remembering some other stuff. I don't think you and I are from the same timeline, but you and I are here together now.
I'm starting to think, like you said, everyone's from a totally different timeline. Maybe we just somehow all collided.
They dumped the unwanted versions of us here, I think. What do you think of that theory? Like, in other words...
Here's the Jimmy James that didn't pan out. We're just going to dump them on this one.
Maybe we're in the dumping ground, exactly. I mean, what can I got the vibrating room again. So this is going to drive me nuts. Christy Aphrodite's going to join me in the next hour. I'm going to be yelling about the vibrating room while she's giving you good advice about health. But meanwhile, I didn't expect to go into Mandela effect territory. But yeah, you know what? I'm going to go also look up that Jaws thing. But Oscar Mayer, now look at that. That's a couple of popular brands you know we saw as children. That you and I, you know, I remember with the Oscar Mayer, it was always with an A. But you don't remember it that way. You remember it M-E-Y-E-R, right?
See, yeah, I could have sworn there was even a little feller that was named Oscar Mayer, and I could have sworn they sang the song.
Well, there was a kid that used to sing the baloney song, right? And I think he just had a little bit of a speech impediment, and we remember the E that way, maybe. But I remember the A, so I'm not from the same timeline as you, Jimmy James. Are you scared?
Well, you crossed into this time. Well, we're all in the wrong time.
Well, we're here now.
We're the unwanted.
We're here.
We're the crap left over.
See, I'm thinking that's what it is. It's sort of like, let's throw the ones that we don't want all together over there. Because, you know, they weren't working out right, and they just switched us. What do you think?
Right, that's what that could be. The government on the other side said, well, we'll just get rid of the unproductive, useless. We'll get rid of the uncooperative citizens, and we'll just grab their alter ego. That sounds like something they'd work on, too.
Yeah, the Ed McMahon thing is pretty funny, too. I'm going to get to that in a second, but let's see. Yeah, they show online this result, and indeed, the girl with the glasses, you know, that goofy girl that winds up kissing the dude who's got the steel trap jaw mouth, right? Yeah, no braces.
Yeah, see, that's the one that sent me off on this whole thing the other day, because it wouldn't even make sense that they would get together, except for that she did this big weird grin at the end, and she was, like, sporting those old... you know, 1970s crazy braces connected with the thing around her head.
Oh, she had like the headgear, you're saying. See, I don't remember the headgear, but yeah, you're telling me she had headgear. Okay.
That's the way I remember, because that's the way it like made sense, because they were, you know, both metal mouths.
Okay. So I'm going to go to Forbes magazine on the curious case of Ed McMahon and the Publishers Clearinghouse. Okay? So when those of a certain age think of Publishers Clearinghouse, they... don't play a video. Come on. Get out of my way. All right. Anyway, when those of a certain age think of Publishers Clearinghouse, they tend to remember TV ads... featuring Ed McMahon knocking on a door while holding a big check. Even the Obama administration made reference to these advertisements, according to Michael Grunwald's recent book, The New New Deal. Former Obama chief of staff and current Chicago mayor Rahm Emanuel argues that a stimulus bill is denying ourselves an Ed McMahon moment. I know, Rahm Emanuel's not a favorite guy of yours, not of mine either, but even he says he makes an Ed McMahon moment reference, right? Okay, so the great appeal of Publishers Clearinghouse, a pleasure that would greet an envelope arriving from Obama. All right. Yet Emanuel, like nearly everyone else, gets it wrong. Ed McMahon never worked for Publishers Clearinghouse. He was a spokesman for American Family Publishers. McMahon never left the studio to ambush families, and he never held a giant check. Similarly, Publishers Clearinghouse never hired a celebrity to serve as a spokesperson, and it was the Prize Patrol, okay, not Ed McMahon, that showed up on doorsteps with a giant check. So what happened that makes everyone remember the ads incorrectly? It's not as if they are misremembering a few details. They are entirely rewriting separate million-dollar marketing campaigns created by two companies. American Family Publishers was set up to directly compete with us, says Publishers Clearinghouse Todd Sloan. They were always a Me Too company. When we ran TV commercials, they would go on air with TV ads. They would do everything we did. So during the 1980s, when there was a tremendous amount of TV advertising, people got those ads mixed up. They thought they were one and the same. At the time, Publishers Clearinghouse really didn't make any real effort to correct this misrepresentation. It was kind of a blessing. It was a free advertising, since people thought McMahon was working for us, said Sloan. It certainly didn't hurt us. And as a result, the association between McMahon and Publishers Clearinghouse became an enduring myth. It was the combination of well-established company and the well-established spokesman, says Sloan. While the campaign switch-up serves as an entertaining cocktail folder, as entertaining cocktail fodder, yikes, it also represents a missed opportunity. Any brand consultants... I mean, that's the thing. Ed McMahon never did it. Now, people,
well, wait.
Yeah.
So you're telling me I never seen big white envelopes with his head on it that said you may have already won $1 million?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that it wasn't from Publishers Clearinghouse. And he never...
I never even heard of American Family Publishing or whatever.
Yeah, but...
I could have sworn.
I would tend to agree with you, honestly. I would think Ed McMahon did. I think you and I are from a similar timeline, but there's minor differences. How many timelines are there, people? Anybody got clues? I know there's a lot going on in the chat room. I'm not reading it because I'm trying to read these articles. But I didn't intend to talk about this tonight, but why not?
Well, it's interesting. I think it's interesting. Everyone thinks it's interesting, apparently, because I ended up reading about it in the news.
Yeah, and there are people that take this...
talking about it.
Yeah, people. There are some people out there taking this extremely seriously. No joke at all that they think that we're absolutely, you know, in a weird time warp. And, yeah. So, I don't know what to say, except that, you know, you, the listener out there, I'm sure you thinking about this right now, have some ideas about this, and you're probably having the argument now. In your own heads, I hope I made it clear about these weird sort of differences. And I mean, it happens to me on occasion where I think, didn't that guy already die? You know, when somebody dies, that's
there,
like,
you go. That's, you know, the first thing. That's the first thing. Even before I was born, my grandma, one of them that I never even met, like she apparently always noted when these celebrities would die again. Hmm. And it was kind of an inside family joke. And then once we seen a Saturday Night Live skit where they were, some guy was supposed to be like a taxi driver, and one guy was dressed up like Vincent Price, and the taxi driver said, "Good heavens, I thought you were dead." And he says, "No, no, that's just something we do."
Wow. Well, I've had people also be a little shocked to see me, and I mean, like, really shocked to see me, thinking that I was already dead some years ago. And I have no explanation for it. They just were like, I could have swore you died. These kind of things happen. I don't know how they happen, but I'm not, I don't know. You know, are we literally converging or slipping in and out of different timelines as we go, and they're similar enough? I mean, in the case of an infinite loop of possibilities, very slight variations are necessary, or maybe not so necessary, and some variations might not even be observable. So, I mean, the idea that there is an infinite amount of possibilities about everything, you know, leads you to one of those questions where you just abandon it like a good nihilist and just say it doesn't matter. But it is very weird to try. See, this is the thing about memory, too, is when people say, well, I know that somebody remembers. It's not a recording device, folks. It's not a recording device. It never was. It seems like it is. And yeah, there are certain impressions for sure that will stick with you. But they're impressions. They're not a recording. They're not a photograph. They're not, you know, people remember events and then they see video of that event. And all of a sudden they have a whole bunch of new information. And they find out that their view is different than the video. And this is not from people who are looking at a video and calling it a fake, but sometimes people that were there. And they will swear up and down that their memory is the correct thing, and meanwhile it's not. I mean, there's lots of experiments, like there's the bouncing ball and the sudden invasion in a classroom experiment, where they do this for observational purposes. And frankly, most people, without consulting each other, if you isolate them right away, they have different levels of retention. They have different things that they recall. And almost nobody gets things exactly right. It is only somebody...
You know what's funny? One time, when I was in the military, I seen a Marine go nuts when they tried that crap when the people ran in. He started beating them. They said, no, we were doing it. We were going to have you tell us what the people look like. It's okay. They're not real terrorists. They quit doing that.
Hey, here's a good one for you. You played Monopoly, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so describe, I think his name is Uncle Pennybags, but we all know him as the Monopoly Man. How do we know him as the Monopoly Man? What are his distinctive characteristics?
Well, he's about 1 inch tall. He's got a top hat. He's got a big mustache. He's got a, what do you call it? Glasses for one side.
You're saying he has a monocle?
Monocle.
Okay.
Monocle, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, of course.
He's very dressed up with tuxedo.
Yeah, most of the time. But according to MonopolyLand.com and according to Images Online, the Monopoly Man does not have a monocle. No monocle. He's got a walking stick. He's got a top hat. He wears a suit. Sometimes in better shape than others. No monocle. The big mustache, you're right about all that. He's certainly an older guy. His mustache is white, you know, generally speaking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no monocle.
No monocle.
No
that
monocle.
Right.
Telling you right
I'm
now.
I'm from Monocle Land.
Well, somebody put the link in the chat room at Ocelli.com, and they're having fun with all kinds of stuff here. Let's see. There's a Reddit link. There's, let's see. When Ace Ventura calls the old man the Monopoly guy, he is a falling victim to the Mandela effect. Okay, you remember in the movie, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective?
I remember the line. Okay, you have fun looking like Mr. Monopoly now.
Okay, right. Well, apparently he's falling victim to that because of the monocle, but the Monopoly guy has no monocle. Now, here's the sad thing, Jimmy James.
I got it.
I'm looking at the picture. I'm telling you, look this stuff up. You'll drive yourself nuts. Look it up online, and you start going, does the Monopoly guy have a monocle? And you'll see, no. You'll look through the pictures. Does the peanut butter brand Jif have two Fs? No. The only way that you got pictures of people with two F's on the GIF is people photoshopped it. Go to a grocery store, you see the GIF. It is. It's got one F. You look at the classic stuff, you see people sell collectible old jars. One F, dude. It's the craziest thing, right? Is that messing with you or what?
That's hard to believe.
I'm telling you.
I think people are messing with this. I'm telling you, this is somehow part of the government's little tricks, because there's too many little things that add up to something weird.
No, look, I would have to agree with you that there's plenty of weirdness to go around here. But, again, some of this stuff, and the funny thing is most of these things that you have turned around and said, no, that's not right, most of them seem right to me. But a couple of them don't. Right? Now, I chalk it up to just simply memory is not as solid as people think it is. It is, it's at all times subject to revision. That's the reality of memory. You will add additional information. You'll talk about it. You'll work it out. You'll think it through. And all of a sudden, you'll have more details, and they may not be accurate. And this is what people do. This is why they tell you don't talk about the case, even among people that know about a case, you know what I mean, in legal circumstances. And the first memory is the best. What's that?
So they'd obtain them, right?
Well, the thing is, the more that people show you stuff and talk to you or you talk it out, the more you're going to edit your memory. It just happens. It's always being edited, and it's not intentional. People will edit their memories, you know, without even having a reason to do so.
Yeah, but there's so much technology now where if people did want to aggravate people... They could go back and make clips and change things. I don't know. Well, I just think it's weird that there's so many of these little things.
Well, they could do that, but you can't find... Look, you can find black and white commercials, right, for Jif peanut butter that have not been edited, okay, that are, you know, preserved as they were, and nobody's photoshopping those. You know what I mean?
Well, that we know of.
Well, it's
maybe they showed something in the 50s and then just made something later. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you the strange thing the strangest thing of all to me is that this lady started writing about this in 2009 about Mandela being already dead. He was still alive because he didn't die till 2013. So I don't know what to make of a lot of
someone...
it. Yeah, go ahead.
See, I haven't even really heard much about this, really. I mean, I know I read about the thing a few years ago. It was pretty popular, and then it just one of them things, kind of like Flat Earth, came and went.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, still on YouTube, there's probably hundreds of hours of videos about the Mandela Effect. So, anyway... Jimmy James, you helped me get through the hour because I was going to just sit here and pontificate on the strangeness of people's points of views that they won't let go of no matter what they see. And it's interesting, you wound up leading us into something else about people's insistence on their memories. Even if you present them with new facts, even if you say, because look, logically, you would have to say that if I said to you, look, man, you didn't remember it right, Jif has one F. It would make more sense for you to say, well, okay, I guess that's the way it was. I guess I made a mistake. But people don't. They grip to what it is they think is real. And it could be something as simple as an extra F at the end of your peanut butter, or it could be about your political persuasion and how it is you want to characterize an entire nation of people. And God help us, by the way, Jimmy James, if anybody wants to judge, you know, like people like you and me, based on the behaviors, operations, and garbage that our politicians and gangsters and everybody else have pulled over the years. Because if that's the case, you know, America's got a long overdue new genocide due to it. Because there's people all over the world that could be angry at us. Right?
I think everyone in the world's been pretty angry at us for a good 60, 70 years.
It could be, sir. Anyway, in the next hour, I'll be talking to Christy Aphrodite. But Jimmy James, you did me a big favor by stepping in and talking about the Mandela effect, which I never intended to do, but what the hell? Open lines, that's what happens on the Ocelli effect.
This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and you're tuned into the Ocelli effect.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Uncle, do you remember that time when Nibiru, also known as Planet X, was going to get within the gravitational pull of the Earth and cause mass commotion and chaos?
More of that. More commotion. More confusion. It goes into the confusion thing. Hey, going nut, he's going back, and it's going crazy.
I hate being confused like that.
But that's exactly how he works it.
It is, but at the Ocelli.com radio network, you're never confused.
No, it's straight to the point.
Straight talk.
And I like that idea.
It's about time. Forget this Nibiru stuff and listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
.com, and he'd get it right where you want to hear it at. Right straight ahead instead of ding-donging back and forth here.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Second hour of the Ocelli Effect begins now at Ocelli.com, but you could be some other time, some other place, so welcome to you no matter where you are, even if the Mandela Effect got you. All right. So I have Christy Aphrodite with me, and we're going to talk about that little spot you just heard there from MyTrueEssence.net. That is Christy's site, but also ChristyAphrodite.com. I'm going to give you the links with the show notes if you're catching the podcast. But if you're listening to us live here on a Tuesday night just after 9 p.m. on the East Coast of what they used to call America, you can call in. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. And you can ask Christy a question, or we can talk a little bit, whatever it is. We got her for about 55 minutes or so. So we'll see where we can get. And I think we have a subject in mind tonight, a topic, and we'll see what we cover. But if not, Christy's here every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. So we'll try taking calls more. If you guys call in, we'll do it. How's that? And I know Jimmy James is waiting on the line, but first I got to ask Christy, how you doing tonight, sweetie?
I'm so depressed, Chuck. I heard there might be a show about that topic.
Yeah.
But I'm really, stuck on this Ed McMahon and Oscar Mayer and Berenstain Bears. Oh, my! How can I not be depressed after finding out everything I thought I knew is a total lie?
Well, let me just get this. I mean, I don't want to take up too much time, but Oscar Mayer, do you remember it? Now, I remember it with Mayer. Now, I know that little kid sang it, and he, you know, wasn't speaking clearly. I don't know. Maybe he lost a few of his teeth. But, I mean, so many people remember Mayer. Which one are you?
I actually think that I remember an A, but I can't be sure. And you're speaking to somebody who's had multiple TBIs. So I don't actually care what I remember or don't remember these days, and it's way more fun, right?
No,
because I used
enough.
To get depressed worrying about not being able to remember things properly or in things like, I don't know, Berenstain Bears. I felt a little bit of gaslighting going on there.
I'm not trying to gaslight anybody.
Not from you. I'm just saying in general, this whole Mandela effect thing, or you know, started being talked about.
And that's weird, is that people get so worked up over it, right?
Right.
And that's the strange thing, is that people get worked up over stuff, and then they crash into a depressive state sometimes when they feel overwhelmed or defeated. And that is, you know, one way that people enter into depression, but depression is a hard thing. You know, we got a caller on the line, and again, 319-527-5016, and he said he had a question in mind for you, wanted to ask you about something. He was talking in the chat room last week. So
Cool. Go for it.
Yeah, let's clear up some old business here and give him a chance to ask you a question. So let's see. Jimmy James, you're with me, right?
I'm here.
All right. I know you're getting over the Oscar Mayer versus Mayer. I know you're getting over the Berenstain Bears. I know. But you had questions for Christy last week, so I wanted to give you a chance right away to ask him here. And look, if we don't get all the way through the depression talk tonight, just like depression itself, there's plenty of it. We can get to it more next week. But, you know, so take your time. Ask your questions that you had related to other health issues. Please, Jimmy James.
Oh, okay, thank you. Yes, my question is, I have an awful term breathing. I have a deviated septum, even though my doctor assures me I don't have a deviated septum. And, I asked you about that peppermint, because so basically I want to breathe better.
Okay, so first, let me tell you about the deviated septum thing real fast. I supposedly had that as well, and I also had sleep apnea, and I went and I got the surgery and all that. I do not advise anybody to do that. It is a horror show, and there has got to be much more natural and positive ways to restore breathing, because it's tough when you can't breathe through your nose. So, Christy, Let's just go with the premise. I mean, deviated septum is a weird term, because the septum being literally like the divider piece there in your nostrils, right? If it's deviated, it might be squeezed to one side, or it's just not straight, so you don't have a good way to breathe through it. And this can cause you problems. It can make you tired, drop your oxygen level, or you become one of those mouth breathers. That's not good. You don't get to use the natural filter of the nasal passages. This is a problem. So what can somebody do, you know, without getting butchered like I did. You know, they cauterized and burned and took out flesh out of my throat and my nose and all kinds of stuff. I didn't know any better back then. What is it that somebody could do naturally to try to get a bit more, I don't know, access to air through their nose?
Right. Okay. So a few things. First, I have to start off with the disclaimer.
Yeah.
For everyone, I am not a doctor. Nothing I say is intended to be medical advice. In fact, don't listen to anything I say at all. And do not even attempt anything I discuss without discussing with your medical professional first. This mm-hmm. goes to everyone, to everything that we discuss here. And that's simply because I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know pre-existing conditions. I don't know current or past medication, you know, all of that stuff. So,
nobody,
I will just say what I would do and throw out a few possibilities.
Some ideas. But here's the thing again. There is no such thing as a one-size-fits-all solution ever. And natural stuff. Look, again, Jimmy, you may have a situation where you have, I don't know, high blood pressure, or you have medications that you take, or you have a regular intake of something that is not good to mix with something else. You have to be very careful. Consult all of those things. You know, consult your own best judgment, too. But also, if you have a doctor involved in the equation, you got to check with them. I would check with a pharmacist. Everybody, you can. In fact, and every reference you can before attempting anything. Because delicate balances, something as simple as grapefruit juice can kill somebody if you're taking the wrong medication. So, the wrong medication for drinking grapefruit juice anyway. Again, not advice, but these are ideas that can be useful if it all checks out. Okay, and that's how I would put it. Is that fair, Christy?
Absolutely. But okay. I'm going to try to remember to give the disclaimer every time we talk about any type of natural solutions.
Right.
So that being said, and thanks for calling back. And if that was you in the chat and I missed your question, sorry. I did get back to it at, I don't know, 2 a.m. or something like that. So I don't know the basis of your particular deviated septum or anyone who's listening right now. But what I do know is that there are certain things that can contribute to it, right? And so swelling and things like that, any type of swelling means inflammation, which means pain, which means problems, basically, to put it simply. Also, things like allergies or allergies, stuffy nose, things like that can also contribute to the issue. But honestly, practice is one thing that I think is kind of important before you take anything, right? And I know as a asthmatic and, you know, my whole life, not being able to breathe totally sucks, you know, calling 911 and being hooked up. So I know it's not fun and a terrible feeling. Now, things that I would do are I would look into maybe a neti pot. I would also look into essential oils like peppermint and eucalyptus, and maybe even doing like a steam, what do you call that, where you bring the water to the boil and then put the essential oils in and have a cloth over, put your head in and inhale it, right? Which may help clean things out. I would also go to my local-ish health food store and grab a bottle of H2O2. That's hydrogen peroxide, food grade, 35%. I would also make sure to not touch it and to be very careful because it will burn you or your skin. I would put that in my water, and I'm talking just drops, no more than one capful per gallon of distilled water is what I would do. And I would also add a drop of peppermint oil to each glass or bottle of water I drink from that gallon. In addition, I would also use those same essential oils like on my nasal passages because they will help reduce inflammation. I may even put them around like my cheeks and a lot of the same things that we talked about last week. And I would make anti-inflammatories, which are basically every single herb we talked about last week and probably again this week, I would make them part of my daily diet. Mm-hmm. I would clean out from my diet anything processed. And I know that's kind of a hard jump for most of us who, you know, have been raised on processed foods our whole life. Right. So in order to accomplish that, I would take baby steps and eliminate one thing at a time and focus on what you're adding to your diet and how good it is for you rather than what you're taking away.
Well, another thing really quickly here, Christy, because you brought up the Medipot earlier and you talked about water. You got to be careful about what kind of water you use with a Medipot. Now, for me, a Medipot is very uncomfortable. Because ever since I had that surgery, it's very sensitive in there. The sensitivity never goes away. This very, like, tender, kind of like, it's almost like as soon as something touches it, it's like I've been hurt. You know, I blow my nose, and it's an extreme pain sometimes.
Wow.
And that they told me to expect tenderness in there. And, oh, occasionally, if you eat a piece of rice, it could get caught up in there and just be there for, like, quite a while. Stuff like this, and I'm like, oh, that's pleasant.
It's not for everyone, clearly. Yeah.
But to
and
use a
you're right about the water thing. Even,
sorry, Jimmy James, what?
And it didn't even help you, huh, Chuck?
Well, you know, allegedly it protected me from having a stroke, is what it was, because I was doing the whole stopping breathing while sleeping thing. And they said, yeah, no reason to even bother with the CPAP machine and all that. You got to have surgery. So I went and had it done at the behest of my then wife, and was not a pleasant experience. You can't eat for 3 weeks. It's hell. My throat almost swelled shut because I got an infection. Whole thing. But back to the Medipot. You got to be careful. Don't just use tap water, obviously, in the Medipot, Christy, right?
Absolutely. No, that, and that's why...
I'll confess, I did the Medipot thing once when I was living in an apartment.
Okay.
And I did buy the right stuff that they said to add to it at the store.
Right.
But I used tap water, and it totally congested me to the point that I couldn't breathe.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. You gotta at the very least, buy a bottle of distilled water. If you don't know how to get clean water at home, buy it. And use that at least, and I think the packages on all the Medipots tell you this too, by the way. So it's not like I'm making something up. You know, distilled water at the very least, it's got to be sterile, because you don't want to introduce more bacteria or more things in there that are acceptable in your local drinking water into your nose. Believe it, seriously. I'm not kidding.
We have explosives in the water. Like, let's get real. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So sticking them in our cavities, even in our mouth at all,
Right. I would not advise it. And look, even if you drink it, I wouldn't advise putting it up in the nasal passages because they're more sensitive. And if you got a problem up there, then they may be more vulnerable as well. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Don't use the municipal tap is what I'm telling you for this. Okay. So go ahead, Christy. I'm sorry, but I just wanted to make that point about the Medipot.
No, I'm really glad you did. And I just want to point out, that's why when I said that I would go buy some H2O2 and put it in a gallon of distilled water,
right.
You know, because, again, you're dealing with explosives, right? Let's get real.
Right.
So I'm sure you've done those shows before, so we don't have to go over all of that for you. But yeah, water is essential, whether you're using H2O2 or shoving it up your nose or, you know, stuffing it down your throat.
Right.
Yeah. So as far as things that may help sinuses, I mentioned peppermint and eucalyptus oil. Even things like cinnamon or clove and tea tree, maybe even firs, pines, balsams, etc. And if you don't have any of those, and I cannot fail to mention frankincense and thyme, and I think I already said cedar, and they'll also maybe assist with better, more relaxed sleep. Mm. And if you do not have the essential oils, you can also use infused oils, the same thing. And instead of putting things up your nose, because to be honest, my personal preference is less barbaric. I don't believe in pushing things in the outdoor. And that's pretty much across the board. So, but, you know, some people swear by it and love it. And so that's just a possibility. But also infused oils or things like, or even compresses, and definitely the steam inhalation method. Sorry, I couldn't come up with a name earlier. I have to admit, I had a little bit of a nap a little before the show. Because it's been a little busy, but yeah, steam inhalation is something. So, and okay, so those, and again, all the herbs we talked about this week and almost any herb we talk about will help to reduce inflammation and may help to reduce bacteria and viruses and other infectious particles that we may encounter through food, air, etc., whatever type of pollution we're living in. So if you can, you know, also when it comes to your diet, just try to replace inflammatory causing foods with, you know, anti-inflammatory foods.
Right.
For brain oils, because your nose is, you know, septum, it's part of your brain, right? It's right there. So things like rose, and again, I want to mention frankincense, even sandalwood. And they're the frankincense, myrrh, and sandalwood are pineal gland stimulators. And I'm pretty sure that doesn't feel that great when you can't breathe. And then getting back to, I mentioned the word practice. What I mean by that is when you're feeling fully relaxed, say lavender oil or whatever it is for you, right? Jasmine, neroli, etc. When you're in that relaxed state, you know, you definitely don't want to do this at night, but consciously go outside, breathe fresh air. And I realize you're mostly breathing through your mouth, but I do know of people who have assisted their deviated septum by just practicing breathing through their nose consciously when they have the time. And while you're practicing, again, use things like a drop of peppermint oil on your nasal passages to assist with that. So those should all be pretty simple solutions. I'm sorry that you went through that surgery and all of that stuff, Chuck. Jimmy James, right? That's your name?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know how bad it is for you, obviously, but I hope some of these things can assist at least a little bit. And if, you know, there's, again, I don't know your medical history, so I don't really want to mention, you know, internal herbs or anything.
They call it chronic sinusitis.
Okay, so again, what you need to know is anything with the word itis or the suffix itis at the end of the word, right? Arthritis, tinnitus, tendonitis, bursitis. Any itis means inflammation. Mm-hmm. So we really, when we're diagnosed with any type of itis, we really have to look at the root of the problem. How many how many things are we consuming that cause inflammation, right? Whether it's soda or, you know, whatever. We know what causes it and what takes it away. So yeah, any itis, the first thing you can do is reduce inflammatories and increase anti-inflammatories, and essential oils should at least help minimize the pain and, you know, in the process.
Hmm. There you go. That's something always to note with the suffix itis. That's very good. It's about inflammation again. Even the common like street sort of the itis, right, is inflammation of the belly, of the bowels, from gas. So that's what that is. And yeah, so okay, very good. Did you have any other questions, Jimmy James?
No, so if I remember right, you said the peppermint would pretty much, you'd have to smell it, right? I mean, it pretty much clears your nasal passages. Kind of like
absolutely. I mean, well, no, I shouldn't say absolutely because we're all individuals. If I was in that position, then I would definitely reach for peppermint. That would be my first go-to. And again, I would rub it on my sinuses, my temples. I'd be careful with, just like with water, what kind of essential oil brands you're getting. I happen to know a couple, and I'm one of them, and there are others that I'd be happy to help with as well, like Peppermint Jim. And yeah, so with that peppermint oil, you can not only put it on your skin, you can put it in your water that you drink daily, just like a drop or something. And the H2O2 may or may not help. Again, I just want to say, add no more than one capful per gallon of distilled water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I just remembered another thing. Sorry.
Sure.
I make a blend, and this is not because I'm trying to sell it, but I'm going to give you the herbs, and I'm telling you about it because other people have told me. Now, first of all, I know it reduces coughing and inflammation and, you know, inflamed bronchioles and things like that. So anytime I have a cough or inflamed nodes or anything, you know, like that, then I will smoke a blend of herbs. And I'm just talking one hit. You know, you definitely don't have to fiend it. None of these are drugs or hallucinogenic. They're not going to get anyone high. But I mix mullein, mugwort, wormwood, and depending on whatever else I can get, you can actually smoke mint, if you didn't know that, and lavender, and they're all anti-inflammatory. It also sage you could put in there if you wanted to. But those are always, that blend or a variation of that blend has been helpful in every type of respiratory or stuffed nose condition for me.
What do you think about making a tea out of that sort of combination?
Well, you can definitely make a tea out of it, but it's going to be bitter, mm-hmm. which in a way is good because we do need more bitter foods and things in our diet. But if it is too bitter, add some hopefully local raw honey and whatever you need to make it taste better. If you mix it with mint, then that will offset the flavor a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, citrus, if you wanted to add lemon or lime and honey. But yeah, you can definitely make a tea with those herbs. But I'm not going to guarantee they're going to be delicious.
Well, no, but you can play with a combination of things as so long as you know they're safe for you. Like we talked about vanilla beans last time, and I love vanilla. It's one of my favorite anythings. So, you know, you could use vanilla beans, couldn't you? In order to change the flavor. And vanilla also has healthy aspects to it that can be quite useful. Right. I'm saying that you could make a combination of these things.
And, absolutely. Yeah. I would add cinnamon, clove, ginger, and anise in that same combination, and maybe even a nutmeg, and definitely the vanilla. So absolutely, play with it, see what you like, because obviously you have to like it or you're not going to do it. So I want people to take their medicine in a way that's enjoyable, which I kind of refer to as pampering yourself while healing. Mm. So surrounding yourself with these aromas, and while those scents, not just smoking it yourself. If you have somebody around you, other people I know have used it for infections, ear or other oral infections, and their partner smoked it and blew it on them, and those issues went away. So there's a couple more possibilities of things that you might consider trying.
Little secondhand smoke from the herbal.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, that was lung. That was all respiratory medicine until 100 years ago. So, you know, I'm definitely not against smoking, unless it's like crack or commercial cigarettes. No.
No, totally understand. I'm just saying that, and this is the way that the natives would deliver some of these medicines to one another, is exactly this way.
Right.
You know, so, and some of them still do it. You know, and today you have inhalers and all this other stuff, and I get it. They have their uses. You know, your albuterols and all that, I get it. I've had to use them in the past. Right. I used to have plenty of breathing problems. I found that a lot of my breathing problems actually came down to emotional issues.
Yep. We're going to go there.
Which is,
as soon as you let me.
I meant to go there, but I wanted to cover this for Jimmy James, and unfortunately we took up like half of your time doing it, but it's necessary.
We'll continue. There's no hurry. We'll just next week or whatever.
We'll just keep rolling on with it. But you got anything else, Jimmy James?
No, that's pretty much what I was interested in. I appreciate the time. Sorry for taking up so much of your show. I didn't plan on that.
No. It's not. You're not taking up too much of the show. It's meant to be as it is. Anybody who calls in will take the same time with a question and let Christy answer it every which way she wants. We're not in a rush. Okay?
Yeah, so even those herbs, if you don't want to smoke them and you don't want someone else to smoke it and blow it on you, then smudge them. Yeah, well, you know?
Because as we said, you know, last week, you can always find a way to eat them. I mean, there's ways of eating some of these. Not everything is good to eat, but some things you can mix them in, and you can make something, you know, however it gets there, it works, right? So, Jimmy James, you have something you want to add? Good.
Oh, yes. So if I already smoke a different herb, I could add that H flower, what's it, harem?
Oh, which,
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time understanding.
I think what he means to ask is that, he partakes in some cannabis, say.
Okay.
And he wants to combine something with his cannabis. What about
that?
Dude,
just here. I'm going to put a link here in the chat, and I'm going to send you some of this. And look at the ingredients, read the reviews, and read the reports from PubMed.gov and contact me off, or I'm sure you and Chuck know each other, so Chuck has my permission to give you my information.
Okay.
And here, let me get this link here. And totally mix that with your weed. It's just a bunch of weeds, right? So you can mix that and smoke it together. Absolutely. And another thing for inflammation, you know, cannabis paste. It's not just smoking it. In fact, smoking it has the least anti-inflammatory properties than eating it. And just because I'm saying that, though, doesn't mean I'm saying go to your pharmacy and buy a bunch of edibles either.
Right.
Because then you're eating more anti-inflammatories, more sugar, more chemical, right?
Well, not anti-inflammatories. You're eating stuff that will cause inflammation by eating sugar.
Oh, right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I said that wrong.
No, it's okay. Sorry. I got it. It's just if you're after an anti-inflammatory, you don't want to be counterproductive about it, which is the weird thing about a lot of medicines, like even cough medicines. You know, they're loaded with, okay, I understand why they put alcohol in there. It's to relax you a little bit. But all the added sugars seem counterproductive. I mean, some of those things are heavily, heavily sugared in order to make them tolerable.
Right.
But it's counterproductive in reality. The sugar is not good for inflammation. It just isn't. Anybody will tell you that. And I mean, you don't need to be a doctor to know it. Okay. It's just one of the things that happens. So it's counterproductive. Why fight against what you're trying to do? So if you're going to eat it, try not to add things that cause inflammation to what it is you're eating while you're eating your anti-inflammatory, right?
Absolutely. Thanks for correcting me. I told you I just woke up from a nap. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Yes, it's okay. I just want to be sure that we're, you know, good and clear on all this. So, Jimmy James,
yeah. That's why you're the professional.
yeah, sort of. But it's okay. Jimmy James.
Yeah, and if you don't want to use a neti pot or rinse yourself out, again, you can just do a compress. So either with those teas we discussed, or even essential oils, any of those. I'm sure, you know, you're like, okay, that was a lot. Which one do I start with? So if you want to, again, contact me after the show, and then I'll figure out how to get you some of this ceremonial blend for you to try. And that might, you know, be a good way to get your feet wet in herbs. In fact, it has been like the number one way to get most people who were, and maybe not anti-herb, but just thought it was all foo-foo. But then, you know, the relief experience with this is instant and undeniable. So, I'm going to send you some so you can try it. And, you know, if you need anything else or whatever, let me know. I do have oils and such.
There you go. So, can't ask for more than that. What I'll do is, Jimmy, I'll give you an email, and with the information right after the show. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Christine. I am going to try those things.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Excellent. Yeah. Jimmy James listens to, a lot of the shows on the network, and, just talking to him personally, I know he's got issues that I guess chronic is the best way to put it. So this would be very helpful to him. And
We'll discuss, and then off the air, then hopefully we can, you know, I can know more about his personal things so I don't give any potentially harmful advice.
Right. No, but that's the thing, is you have to know, you know, look, you got to know your circumstance. You got to know what the problem is. We talked about evaluation last week. So, you know, you can check into that. The earlier shows, obviously, they're on my website. And Christy, I don't know if you're putting them up on yours, but you're free to always. You know, and they're very important to evaluate things properly to begin with. You got to know what it is that's causing you the problem. You got to at least get an idea. And you got to know what's coming in and what's coming out of your body for sure. So,
absolutely.
You know, and again, you don't want to contradict medicines that you're taking or other things that you're habitually, using one way or another, not necessarily drugs. I know everybody here is habitual. They think drugs. I don't mean drugs. You know, what I'm saying is that you could be taking in a massive amount of sugar and causing your own inflammation because it's way too high a level of sugar.
Right.
You could just solve some of the problem by reducing sugar. Now, I don't know. I'm not giving medical advice, obviously, but who is going to argue with me about reduce your sugar intake in America, right? I mean,
not very many smart people. And, you know, I also just the P words and the P foods are also good for like brain and sinuses and with anti-inflammatory properties. So I P foods like pineapple, papaya, pumpkin, even potatoes, especially sweet potatoes, and then other brain foods like that also contain anti-inflammatory properties, such as berries, brassicas, you know, the one things that we talked about last week when talking about brain health. So if they look like your brain, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, etc., berries, I would try to find ways to introduce that into my diet.
So there you have it again. And we were going to get in a bit deeper into depression and all that. I think we should save it for next week and continue on with this a little bit more because this was a good area to go into. And again, we're going to take our time here. If it takes 2 weeks to do something, 3 weeks, whatever, that's the way it's going to go. And Christy said, we're just going to do this from now on for a while. And, you know, I appreciate you taking the time. And again, I'll put you in touch with Jimmy after the show. If somebody else wants to call in, by all means do so, 319-527-5016. If not, you and I can continue to have a discussion about this deviated septum issue because breathing, let's just be very basic about this. If your breathing is challenged, if you're having a hard time breathing, well, that causes a variety of issues. Quite often we don't notice that we're having trouble breathing because in the first place, most people have bad habits with the way they breathe. Here's an example I'll give you. And this is something that a vocal coach would teach you and is just something I don't know why everybody is not informed of this. Okay. Diaphragmatic breathing. All right. Christy, I know you know about this because you and I have talked about meditation and things like that. And I said, well, first thing you got to do is get your breathing in order, right?
Absolutely.
And it's not necessarily just about the proper way to breathe, although most people rather lazily are not doing it properly and they don't even realize it. But the other thing is to fully utilize your lungs because your lungs, like any other part of your body, if they're not exercised, right, they don't remain strong. Now, they're not muscles. Lungs are not muscles, but they need to be utilized enough in order to keep them strong. I mean, it sounds a little weird, but you got an argument for this one, Christy?
No, I can't argue.
Okay, just checking.
I was actually looking for that breathing website I mentioned last week, and it's been a while, so it's taking me a second to find it.
Well, take your time. I'll just fill here for a second because a lot of people don't realize that they're sitting down or they're doing different things, and they don't really fill their own lungs very often. They don't really use the whole of their lungs. And again, if you do that for 30 years, it means that parts of your lungs are not, well, they're not stretched. They're not ready to go. They might not necessarily atrophy like a muscle, but they don't function as well because you're not using them. You know, that's one thing that the body does. If you are not using it, it starts to shut it down and say, well, if it's not necessary, let's break this up. That's why muscles start to get broken up by the acids in the body. It's a natural reaction. That's how muscles atrophy from non-use. You know, like coma victims, right? Not only do they have to learn to walk again because of the brain problem or whatever, but the muscles have now been not utilized. I mean, they try to exercise people nowadays, but it took them a while to figure that out because some people would come back out and couldn't use muscles because they were gone. So the thing is, if you don't use it, you lose it. Sounds like an old cliche, but it's true. So with the lungs, you have to utilize the whole of your lungs and realize, visualize, actually, I would suggest, because this is what I do, visualize where the lungs are in your body. Okay, and try to make sure that from the top to the bottom and all around there inside of your rib cage that you're using all of it. Much as you can. I'm not saying strain. Don't hyperventilate. Clearly, safely, smoothly, inhale and use the whole of your lungs. If you start to do this more often, you'll notice that you can take in more and more air. Because, again, as the stretching process happens, it actually does stretch. It expands. Not just in the moment, but it'll stay stretched there, and you'll have greater lung capacity. Now, this, again, is something that was kind of taught to me a little bit for stage and stuff like that, but this is a useful thing in life. Keep your lungs strong. Now, you may have damage to your lungs because you had pneumonia and stuff like that. I've had damage to my lungs from pneumonia, and, well, I smoke. But there's never been noticeable damage from the smoking anytime I've had a scan. But anyway, pneumonia and things like that leave scars, leave parts of the lungs that are not functional. A lot of that can be repaired. Not entirely, but a lot of that can be repaired simply by practicing utilizing the lungs fully and diaphragmatic breathing. So, Christy, did you find that site?
I did. I posted a few links in your chat. It used to be called breathing.com,
okay,
and now it's optimalbreathing.com. It's Mike White. It doesn't look the same as it used to, because it used to have, like, oh my gosh, thousands of articles. And so I'm just kind of navigating it and trying to look for that. But it seems like under the insights is where all the articles on breathing. He has a section on anxiety, panic, and stress, a whole section on oxygen, and different breathing techniques. So, yeah, that's where we get back to practice. And I'm glad you brought up the atrophy thing. I mean, I don't know if anyone has ever, say, been on crutches or a wheelchair, had your arm in a cast. You know, we just sometimes have to relearn. Or maybe just learn for the first time the proper way. And, you know, because breathing, it just kind of happens, and we've never been taught proper breathing technique. So I'm positive, right, if you don't find what you're looking for at optimalbreathing.com, there are even YouTube videos with different breathing techniques that can assist with that. I also failed to mention, dairy consumption, especially if it's, pasteurized and all of that stuff, right, yeah, that we get from a store, so cheese, milk, things like that, that is not going to help your condition in any way.
Right.
And last week we talked about allergies that we may not know we have, right? And the common ones, of course, are dairy products and gluten products, but I also want to mention it's not necessarily gluten itself. It's kind of what they've been adding to it, right? So commercially available wheat products, we kind of got to be careful with, especially with those issues. And since you brought up the mental health aspect of it, Chuck, I mean, and this is, you know what, I think it's great that we won't talk about, or we'll bring this topic up next week, the anxiety and depression, but part of that, see, what we're talking about right now are symptoms of unhealed trauma. Mm. So we can call it a deviated symptom, we can call it anxiety, we can call it depression, you know, we have all sorts of labels on what we're calling it, right? Mm-hmm. But we have the power to work through it. In fact, I mean, hello, Chuck is like one of the greatest superheroes out there, even though he won't tell you. And he didn't get there, because of the perfect herb. He got there because he practiced and learned new ways to do things. And initially, just like myself, some of them we just thought they would help us cope and tolerate the conditions. And then accidentally, it's like, oh, poof, they're gone. So practice. Don't give up. You know, spend 5 minutes with yourself a day focusing only on the breathing. And when it comes to trauma, okay, things like that, lung issues. Oh, yeah, can't fail to mention mullein, which is excellent for the lungs. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess I kind of did in a smoke blend, but maybe you want to consider taking it a different way, whether it's tea or tincture. But grief is the number one spiritual, emotional, / mental cause, deep root cause of lung and respiratory issues. So suppressed crying, right? Mm-hmm. And again, especially being a male, I mean, at least as a woman, I know we're all crazy, but at least we're allowed to cry, right? Because they expect us to be like crazy and emotional. Right. But men, not so much. You've been taught since birth not to express your true feelings. So I would like to encourage you and anyone who's listening to get with yourself, you know, in your own personal time, whoever you talk to or pray to or meditate with or whatever practice you prefer, and with, I don't know, I guess they're all the same, just different words, right?
Right. And but, here's the
really
thing.
Get with yourself, yeah, and try to, you know, see those things that you've been hiding from the world for what sounds like probably all of your life.
Right. And look, it's not a matter of, and now some people might hear that, especially guys, and go, you know, what am I supposed to do? Every time something upsets me, I'm going to burst out in tears and put. No, she's not telling you to do that. What she's telling you to do is to not just stuff it down.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you got to have. You choose where you wish to express things, okay? Do it in the space and the time and the place that you select, okay? You have control. You can take control. Now, I know that sometimes emotional outbursts happen. I've had them happen, believe me, when I didn't want them to. And quite often, a lot of that stuff, pain, I turned into rage earlier on in life. And it was destructive. It's just that simple. It became destructive. And the more I stuffed down, the more fuel I had to be destructive. So here's the thing. It's not a matter of, oh, you just got to, you know, cry at the drop of a hat, or, oh, I got to be all moot. No. You do it in your time, in your space. You got to allow yourself, okay? You got to give permission to that, because it is essential to vent things like that. And look, that's only a very basic. I mean, it doesn't matter. It could be sadness. It could be all kinds of things. I mean, I'm fine. Nowadays, weird thing, because I spent most of my life with the idea that you don't do this in front of people in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
No, I don't have to accept those rules. I can choose who it is that I demonstrate these things to and who I do not. Okay? And that is a healthy way to take charge of it. You can take charge of it. You don't have to allow your emotions to take charge of you. But if you resist allowing them to even be acknowledged, this is where you're going to build yourself problems. And that's probably what we're going to have to get into next week. Because, again, depression is one of those things. Notice I mentioned, you know, you can take sadness and pain and you can turn it into rage. That's very good and very productive in certain ways. But
absolutely. In fact, I wanted to kind of bring up the flip side of that, right? I know we're in society, we're taught, you know, the anger is bad, but I actually vehemently disagree. There's a reason they don't want us to express or feel anger. And just like you mentioned, you know, you let it turn into rage, and then it was the spark that caused you to go off on a path that you aren't on currently. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, something that could happen. But conscious anger is the spark, the fuel we need to stop participating or doing the things that are keeping us angry or making us repress or suppress our emotions, right? So I just want to say this. Everything productive in my life that I have accomplished was birthed by anger, whether it was radio or Project Love Your Neighbor or the Southwest Missouri Free School or My True Essence or even, you know, just my videos trying to teach people, whether it was anger at being poisoned and lied to through the medical system, or whether it was anger over being poisoned and lied to through the media or politics or things like that, right? So whatever that is insulting or assaulting your soul, you have a right to be angry,
right?
But where are we directing it? What are we doing with our anger? Are we going to let it fester and then come out in the form of, say, cancer or boils or cysts or even strokes? Or are we going to turn it into something positive? Like, hey, I didn't like that experience. I don't want to do it again. So this is what I'm going to do to fix it, right? Or remove myself
from again,
whatever that trigger is. So don't kick puppies. Yeah. Don't do road rage. Like, those are obviously negative examples of anger. But conscious anger is exactly the fuel that we need to stand up and say no. And that's exactly why society wants us to feel shame by even feeling anger. And, you know, that's kind of probably why people don't stand up.
Well, and that's how they keep you docile. Remember this, though. And this is really key. And again, I feel like I'm speaking more to males. Okay, I know that's a bad term. I'm speaking more to men. Okay,
a bad term.
than I am to women, because women.
Well, you're not a biologist, Chuck.
I'm not, but I know I'm speaking more to men because I am one. So therefore, I get exactly where I'm coming from. I don't understand. Listen, I don't understand women. Okay, there are certain points I'm clueless. I go, okay, I don't get it. That's it. I mean, I'm smart enough to go there, but I will tell you. That for guys, you need to understand something, though, about this. You're hearing Christy say, yeah, it's fuel and all that. It's a tool. But here's the deal. I'm not a super handy guy or anything, but I know something. I got a drill. I got a spanner. I got a wrench. All right, these are tools. Who's in charge when I'm trying to build something? I am. Okay, not the tools. Anger is a tool. That's how you got to put it. Anger is a tool. You don't always need. A power drill to get things done, right? But it's a useful tool when it's time. So that's the thing. You're in control of the way the toolbox is used, all right? You get to choose what to put in it. You get to choose how to use it. That's how you use stuff like that. It doesn't have to dominate you, but don't just bottle it up, put it away, and forget where it is, okay? That's a dangerous thing to do.
And honor every emotion. You know, that doesn't mean you have to be like, hey, everyone, look at me. This is how I feel right now. You know what I mean? And if you do have to express, right, make sure you're in a safe place with a trusted friend that you can talk to that isn't going to shame you for any of your feelings, right, or blame you or judge you or any of those things. But, Chuck, everything you've said tonight is so perfectly stated, and you know what, these are tools, and I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul, right? And for those who don't understand or know where that came from, that's Invictus, which has actually been super helpful to me in my dark nights and challenges and such in life,
right? And you know what else can be helpful to many a person on a dark night is mytrueessence.net.
Oh, that was smooth.
So that, well, you know what's happening. We're actually done. Christy Aphrodite again, ChristyAphrodite.com, MyTrueEssence.net, and I'm going to have to take care of something right after the show, but that's the way it is, and we're going to continue this discussion next week, right, Christy?
Absolutely. I'll be here. Thank you.
Anyway, the Ocelli effect is all done. We ended up going from Mandela effect to don't hold down your feelings. Who knows? Maybe they're related, actually. We'll figure it out next week, I assure you. Anyway, again, thanks to all of you for listening. I am merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect.